study at Michigan State says negative relationships causes stress and strain on the body and may even increase the risk of mental health problems, chronic disease, and may even cause early death rates. Did you know that God is saying one of the rewards of healthy relationships is you feel better, you think better, you see better, you act better, your food tastes better, everything gets better with healthy relationships. Isn't that right? Healthy relationships are absolutely crucial.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Everything in life multiplies in value when there are healthy relationships. And that's why Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us how we can cultivate and protect healthy relationships in a way that invites the blessings of God. But we have a few extra minutes today, so join us for a time of worship.
E haawe mai a mākō i ke iala, aina mākō no ne iala. Kala mai ho i a mākō i ka mākō lawe hala ana. Me mākō i kala nei i ka poe i lawe hala i ka mākō. Mai ho oku uo i a mākō i ka ho o vale vale i a mai. E ho opa kele nōna e i a mākō i ka ino. No ka mea, no ke au puni, a me ka mana. A me ka ho onani a maulo aku. Amene.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Key to Everything.
Healthy relationships are absolutely crucial. We want to talk about that. Healthy relationships. And when there's not healthy relationships, you have an undertow. You have something underground that's wrong, and it leaches into conversation. I want to start with a fun story. There's a husband and a wife that weren't getting along too well, and they were driving down the road one day, and the husband saw a herd of pigs just foraging around. And with a smirk, he turns to his wife and says, "Some of your relatives?" And she looked and said, "Oh, yes, on my husband's side." It leaches out and it comes to the surface. And so the Lord wants us to know today that we must indeed work hard at maintaining healthy relationships. It's the key to absolutely everything. It's going to be part one of two parts. And today I want to talk about the three rewards of healthy relationships. It's one of our core values. Because in the end, all you got are relationships. That's your priority. Everything else don't matter as much. We want to talk about those three rewards. Here's our core value number 7 in our church. It's the DNA of our church. So remember, our mission statement is our purpose. The core values is the spirit with which we carry out that purpose. That is what develops the culture of this church. By the way, our church has a really cool culture. I mean, we have the best people in the Northwest right here in this church. Would you agree with me? The nicest people in the world. So thank you so much for your love one for another, because in the end, that's going to matter the most. But today, we're going to talk about that and our core values. So would you read with me core value number 7? It'll come up on the board. It's also in your notes. Let's read this nice and loudly. Ready? Go. We believe that genuine love and caring relationships are key to every endeavor. Never giving audience to a spirit of complaining, we will instead be courageous in solving every problem in a way that honors God and builds biblical character. We value healthy relationships by protecting the unity of the Spirit in our church. That's quite a tall order, but where do we start? I tell you what, let's start at the greatest commandment in the Bible. The greatest commandment in the Bible. And God gives us three rewards if we fulfill that. It was asked of Jesus by a lawyer in that day who came to the Lord and asked him a question. How do I inherit eternal life? I mean, how do I get there? And in that conversation, the greatest commandment comes out. In those days, a lawyer is not what we have today, an attorney. In those days, a lawyer was someone who had studied the law of God. So they were sort of like experts. But you'll notice that this man was far off base, even though he was somewhat learned in the laws of God. You can have people today go to a Christian college, and some of them come out worse than they went in. I mean, they are testy. Because they had gotten a little bit of knowledge of God, it's kind of like, we'll just deconstruct everything God said and I'll reconstruct it in my image, the way I think it should be, the way I think it should say and how I understand it to be. And they're off. And it's no different from that day when one of these guys, probably a Christian college graduate, came up to Jesus and tested him. Let's slip into the conversation and find out how it applies to us. Would you read it with me? Ready? Go. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus said. "Do this and you will live." The lawyer knew what the greatest commandment was. He quoted it back to Jesus. And the Lord asks him some questions. But the first mistake the lawyer made was this. He said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" You see, there's nothing you can do to inherit eternal life. You cannot inherit eternal life from your parents. You cannot inherit eternal life from your grandparents. You can't inherit eternal life from your church. Some people have told me, well, you know, I've always been a Christian because I was born into a Christian home. That doesn't make you a Christian. Well, I was raised in a Christian community. That's why I am like I am. No. Even if you were raised in a Christian community, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. It's like saying I was born in a barn, so therefore I'm a cow. Could be. Kind of depends. We have a pastor on staff here, the slow on the trigger. And when his wife had to go and give birth, he was a little slow. Got her in the van. Got the van as far as the hospital parking lot. There she gave birth in the van. So just because she gave birth in a van, does that mean when she looked down, is it a boy or a girl? Oh, no, it's a minivan. No. See, if you don't send me jokes, I have to make them up myself. So that's all you get. Yeah, you see, it doesn't matter. You can't inherit life from your grandparents or parents. It only comes by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. And when you accept that and believe in him, it is transferred to us, his sacrifice and the benefits of his death, we receive life. And that's what it means to become a Christian. And by the way, that pastor is on staff. I would never embarrass him for the world, but his initials are Chris Kyriakos. And then Jesus asks him two questions. How can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks him, counter questions him. He says, what is written? And then he asks quickly a second question. And how do you read it? You see, the real question is not what is written, because it's in black and white. We know what it says. And Jesus' words are in red. But here's the kicker. What is written? Second question, how do you read it? You see, if we have a bias for selfishness, we're going to read into it something that gives me the ability to take and consume and grab. We develop a theology after our own image. What is written and how do you read it? You see, if I have a propensity to sin and I want to go against God, I'm going to read it in such a way that it gives me permission to do exactly what I want to do. How do you read it? Do you read it with an honest heart, a transparent heart? That's why the scripture says, unless the Spirit of God reveals it to you, you won't understand the things of God. So when you come to the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost comes into your life, you start to see things the way God sees them. You start to think the way God would think. You have the same heart that God would have. And that's why it was said of David, there's a man after my own heart. And God used him to write the book of Psalms. A huge book. And then his whole life is chronicled in 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Chronicles. His life is laid out before us because he's saying that there's a man that had my heart and he read it correctly. Let's record his poems. And we have the book of Psalms. Otherwise, the same question that Jesus asked of the lawyer would be asked of us. How do you read it? Because that really tells our hearts. Because if we want to sin, what we do is we start with a conclusion. This is what I want to do. And then I make God say what I want him to say. So we become what I call Christian ventriloquists. We make God say what we want him to say. I actually had my granddaughter make me a puppet of God. You like that there? So it's a... And so it's kind of like we put our hand in God here and we talk like this. This is God. Let me change his mustache a little bit here. Thank you. It was tickling my nose. All right, good. All right. So this is like God. So we say, hey, God, I have a girl that I kind of like. Do you love her? I think so. Really? Yeah. And she wants me to, I got to say this.
What?
She doesn't like you very much.
What?
Yeah, she's not really fond of you. Well, that's all right. Not a lot of people are fond of me. Yeah, and she doesn't really want to go to church either.
Really?
Yeah.
OMG.
Yeah, but there's times that I don't want to go to church either.
You don't want to go to church?
Nope.
Why?
Because those Christians are weird. Look at them. And there's that guy in the front row over there.
What about him?
He's weird. Right there.
Really? Did you know he's a pastor?
Oops. Just kidding. Yeah, and then my girlfriend, she wants me to go to this party. Is it all right? My parents are saying no.
Do you want to get blasted there?
No.
You want to just get drunk?
No. I just want to go and have some fun.
Well, I always see your heart, so you don't have to worry.
What about my parents?
Forgive them.
Okay. So it's all right.
Sure.
Oh, that's cool. And that girl?
Even though she doesn't want to go to church?
Yeah, she doesn't want to go to church.
Do you love her?
I think so.
That's fine then, because all you need is love.
I'm not the best ventriloquist, but you get the idea, you know what I mean? I think that should go like clap, 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 clap. And so the Lord says, how do you read it? You want me to say what you want me to say? Or do you want to submit to what I'm saying? What heart are you reading it with? And so he asked him, what's written?
Well, the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Did you know the greatest commandment comes in two halves? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's vertical. And the way to prove that you love God is by your horizontal relationships. And Jesus says in Matthew 22, he adds a phrase. The greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And watch this. And he said, and the second is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, work hard at maintaining healthy relationships. Well, what if things go bad? Then work overtime to get it right. Huh?
Yeah.
Because you're all part of the same body. And everything is going to be valued on the basis of relationships because that's all you got in the end. It's all you got. So I'm going to test you on there. And the second is like unto the first. But see, we've got problems. I mean, we step on each other's feet when we dance, right? How many of you have had your feet stepped on by other people? Raise your hand. Yeah. Now watch this. How many of you have stepped on other people's feet? Yeah. We're all in the same boat. So to receive forgiveness and give forgiveness should be a common pattern in the body of Christ. And as you do that, God says, now you got it. My wife keeps a clean house. But when I say that my wife keeps a clean house, it does not mean that it never gets dirty. Why? Because we raised three filthy kids. But when it gets dirty, here it is, it doesn't stay dirty. My wife cleans it up. You and I can keep a clean life because we never mess up. No, because when we do, we clean it up. We deal with it. It takes courage, but we can do it. Listen, it's not sin that destroys God's people. It's unresolved sin that does. Because there's a sacrifice for sin. There's none for unresolved sin that I don't want to resolve. That's when bitterness comes in, offense comes in, and you start to have to live on a consolation bracket of life. Listen, life will not give you what you hope for, wish for, demand for. Life is going to give you what you settle for. And if you settle for less, that's what you're going to get. It's what you settle for. Don't settle for less. Settle for God's best. Don't settle for life's less. Settle for God's best. And when you do, God delivers. So today we're going to talk about the three rewards of healthy relationships. The three rewards of healthy relationships. And here it is. Are you ready? Number one, write down someplace that the value, everything in life multiplies in value with healthy relationships. Healthy relationships determine the value of life. You can be a multimillionaire, but if your relationships are poor, nothing is worth much. On the other hand, you can be a farmer with 12 kids and not have much, but life is so valuable. Why? Because of healthy relationships. Everything values rise and fall, not on the basis of the stock market or your bank account or your cryptocurrency or whatever. It's going to be based on the health of your relationships. Everything in life rises and falls on healthy relationships. You know as well as I, if there's toxic relationships, everything gets devalued in life. You don't want anything anymore. You're done. Even the secular world or nature tells us about that, the importance of healthy relationships. Listen to this. This is from the Mental Health Foundation magazine. It reports this. Recent studies have found that negative social interactions and relationships, especially with partners or spouses at work, increase the risk of depression, increases the risk of anxiety, and even suicidal thoughts. It affects us when there's bad relationships. Study at Michigan State says negative relationships causes stress and strain on the body and may even increase the risk of mental health problems, chronic disease, and may even cause early death rates. Did you know that God is saying one of the rewards of healthy relationships, you feel better, you think better, you see better, you act better, your food tastes better, everything gets better with healthy relationships. Isn't that right? Healthy relationships are absolutely crucial.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled The Key to Everything by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here is a little sneak peek at what is in store for tomorrow.
Listen to Jesus' prayer to the Father towards the end of his life. I pray for those who believe in me, us, through your word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Did you know that through our unity, loving one another, working out problems in a way that honors God and builds biblical character, it draws people to God?
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.